Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps. Our guest this week is a Canadian comedian who these days shares their joy-filled, oversharing style of comedy with people across the UK and Ireland. So I'm delighted to welcome Alison Junesmith.
Aww, it feels so weird whenever you hear words that are written about you read back at you. It feels so weird.
Yes.
But hello, hi.
Well, tell me this, do you find it more or less weird when it's your own words? Like when people have just stolen a paragraph from your website and they read that to you, is that more strange or no?
Yeah, I think so, because it's like, oh, they're reading the words that I made up to try and make myself sound fancy. Now they're coming back at me. It feels weird.
Yeah, I always find that really strange. And then hearing it in their voice, I'm like, oh, does it sound convincing or does it add to the imposter syndrome?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yes. Oh, God. Imposter syndrome. What a great world to live in.
Yeah, it truly is. We were just talking off air about coming out of the pandemic and just being glad that we have industries to come back to.
Oh, look, I was very scared. I was very scared. You know, when Rishi Sunak here in the UK was talking about retraining, I was like, oh, this might actually be a reality. And so I am very grateful for everyone who supports anything in our industry. Thank you.
Yes, that was a really strange one to see. That if people aren't aware internationally, there was a whole marketing campaign that went with that, where they were trying to push, like, you know, get out of the arts, train to be an engineer, or, you know, find a, I don't know what they were trying to say. You know, there was a lot of language around future-proofing your career. Yeah, it was very strange. A load of pictures of like sad ballerinas.
There was. I did like the campaign. This, when I saw the sad ballerinas, I was like, exactly, I'm a sad ballerina. Don't make me a sad ballerina, everyone. Don't make me change. Yeah.
Whereas I saw that and I was like, I mean, maybe I should try ballet, but I'm not sure that's the point here.
Exactly. Are you telling me we should? Okay, so learn how to go on point. Okay, that's what I'll do then. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That'll keep me away from the COVID. I'll be a few inches above it. And so today we're chatting about dating. Do you have any kind of thoughts, dating or relationships off the top before we get into it?
Yeah, I think like what is interesting is how it's changed so much over the years. I would say online dating, I know nothing about. I just missed it, everyone. I just missed it. Now, I could have dove in. I kind of dabbled.
That's the sound of like every listener like clenching their fists.
I know. I kind of like dabbled for a little bit. Okay. I dabbled for a little bit. And it's not like I've dated a lot. I guess I have long-term. I'll do a long-term relationship, then long-term note with no one where I'm sad and lonely and, you know. But at that point in my life, I'm not going to say my age, but I'll date myself by explaining this. It was like I could have done some dating apps, but it was the world of meeting people was still a bit more. Like you would bump into people or you'd be at a bar. I really feel everything now has moved towards online. So it's interesting to me. Often and I, my boyfriend, have a conversation where we remind ourselves we love each other because we don't want to ever have to figure out dating apps. That is way too much. Are you kidding? Well done, all of you out there doing it. It's like, I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. If you follow my social media, I'm trying to step it up, everyone. But I got to say, if I was online, oh, for dating, oh, people would be like, oh, goodness, this girl doesn't know what she's doing.
Well, I don't know if this is reassuring. None of us do.
You know what? That does make me feel good, but you're probably better at editing photos, uploading. I'm still that girl who's like, I'm not really sure. My friend doesn't like me take pictures because I'm bad with lighting, apparently. I'm not. Also, she has a big head. So if I may say, she often makes me step a foot or two in front of her because her head is so big that then my head and her head look the same size. Side note.
Wow, the things people do. See, I cheat because I do a bit of modeling. And so I use those pictures. The catch is I've been away from the industry mostly since the pandemic began, and therefore all my pictures are out of date. And so now I have a different problem of now I've had to like update my profile and be like, I've grown my hair, which makes a lot less sense than just taking more pictures. But we'll
I like that you've done that, though, in writing. I like these pictures, but just so you know, when you do approach me, I have longer hair.
Yeah, yep. I think I tried to make it funny. Like, I'm one of, I can't even remember how I phrased it, but I'm one of the many, many guys that grow their hair in the lockdowns. So I'm trying to be honest about unintentionally catfishing. You know, I guess it therefore doesn't count as catfishing, I hope. And you're at some point, I will do enough modeling jobs to get some more pictures and never have to learn how to take a selfie.
Oh, God.
I know. Yeah, I think that's what I've aged out of. I don't want to learn. I also feel that way about TikTok. I have incredible respect for it, but it kind of scares me.
Oh, it makes me so happy to hear somebody else say that because, you know, I know we're supposed to embrace it for the wonderful thing that it is, and I know it is, but it's intense.
It is intense, and it's like a weird time warp to me. Like, I like efficiency. I like to pack a day and get a lot of tasks done, and the idea of spending several hours, potentially, on a clip for the internet that's a minute long, no.
No, I'm completely with you.
Terrifying. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's my main point. I guess that's what I'm saying is we don't really know what we're doing. I get to interview loads of dating professionals as well. And they are really wonderful and really compelling. And sometimes you then step away and you're like, huh, user all giving contradictory advice. I was with it until I noticed that. And then, you know, and then you have to try and figure out for yourself, okay, now which one of these do I trust? I have to be an expert on the experts.
That's a really good way of looking at it, being an expert on the experts. Look, I don't think there's any true formula. I think anyone who would say there's an expert on something in regards to dating is lying. But I think there's probably bits and pieces you could take from all of it, right? Like, that's what it is. That's what dating is. Learning the do's and the don'ts that you want in your life. That is all dating is. That's why I think people who take a long time, I always say this, I have a lot of friends who still haven't found, you know, the person. And I'm like, yeah, but that's because you're exceptional. And it takes exceptional people a long time to find exceptional people. And that is the truth of it.
I love that. Points right there. Yes, very much. Mm-hmm. And yet it can be quite difficult to remember that. So it's good to be reminded, you know, and there can
be exceptional.
Such...
You're all exceptional. I'm telling you, the rest of them are settling. Just know that. There's a lot of settling going on in the world. It's funny because my sister was saying to me the other day, she's like, you know, I've just realized that, you know, maybe I'm one of those people that just I'll be on my own. And I was like, don't put that in your head. And she's like, well, but think about it. Most of my friends have already found. And I go, yeah, think about this. Most of your friends are already divorced. The love that you find is going to probably be the love of your life, right? There's none of these like starters. So that can be a beautiful, wonderful thing. And you'll be in a much stronger place when you do find that person.
Very fair. And also, I always try and remind people to ask the follow-up question, which is, okay, so all your friends are in relationships. Would you want to be in all of their relationships?
Because
then the stats really change. You love your friends, but you don't necessarily love all their partners.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, I love that follow-up question.
Well, this is what I was doing in the lockdowns. I was running a dating podcast at a time when we couldn't date. So I had all the skills. And then I came back to the dating world and was like, oh, do I remember how to talk to people in person?
Yeah.
And I do think you made a great point about the apps, though, that they do kind of suck a lot of dating potential towards them in a weird kind of way, because we're so aware of them and they're so established in the culture now. I think a lot of people wouldn't think or would think twice about approaching someone IRL because it's like, oh, but now that's the weird, quite forward thing, in a way that not long ago it was like you met them online and they're definitely a serial killer. Right? That's how it was looked at. You know, back when, like, yeah. Match.com, when it was websites, that was something you did in secret and you made up a different way that you met each other.
Yeah, that is 100% true. I never even thought of that. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it's too normal. Now we need to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Now yeah. I speak to a lot of guests where they're like, it's awful for you, right? And I'm like, yeah. It's awful for all of us.
In general, it's awful across the board. Like when you're, you know, in the throes of it, it's so interesting. You know, okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you. I was going to go into another story, but I won't babble on forever.
Well, how about this then? Your cue to tell your dating story. You've got one locked and loaded, right?
I do. So, I mean, this is kind of, it pertains to being a comedian per se, I guess. So this was many years ago when I was single and early days starting out being a comic. And look, the guys always get approached after the show, right? Girls, you know, a funny guy on stage, it's a thing. A funny girl on stage, you know, men in general, I don't think a sense of humor. They say they like a sense of humor, but not
well, do we think they like a sense of humor in they want you to laugh at their jokes?
That's exactly it. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not saying all. I'm sure there are some that watch and they laugh and they're like, she was really good. But I think, like, for whatever reason, biologically, a woman making someone laugh, you know, they're not sexually drawn to you. For some reason, females are like, they flock to the dudes. So men often get approached after shows. So, well, I've had it happen a couple of times. And one time a guy approached me after a show and he was very flirtatious. And I was like, oh, goodness. And he asked for my number. This was, you know, in that time, directness. I was like, absolutely. And he was like, right, we'll go out to dinner. I was like, okay, yeah, okay, let's give it a go. So we did. Like, we went out to dinner. We had drinks. We had a great laugh. And then as the night carried on, I realized it was a lot of questions he was asking about being a comedian and comedy. And I realized at the end of this date that this guy just wants to be a comedian. And he was just asking me, like, I think maybe he didn't even know really that subconsciously I was like, oh, dude, you are not into me. You just want to be a comedian. That is what is happening right now. Because it was all comedy, comedy, comedy. And then, like, ended the date with, you know, so thanks for, you know, it's just my friends have always told me I'm pretty funny. And I was like, oh, goodbye. This is date over. Like, it was really nice. We ended the date. I was like, that was fun while it lasted. But, oh, God. So essentially, I think he asked me out. I don't know whether he knew why he was drawn to me, but it was very clear to me by the end of the date that what he wanted to be was a comedian.
Yes. The worrying thing is, I suspect it probably wasn't conscious. And I love that by contrast, you get to the end of the day and he's like, yeah, and all my friends, they say that I'm funny. And you're there thinking, ah, interesting. So we've learned that I don't like you and I don't trust your friends.
No, don't listen to them. I disagree. I've been with you for an hour and a half. Anyway, yeah, so that was
It's a whole thing. And supposedly, yeah, there's that biological theory about it that for, you know, heterosexual dating, the women are looking for markers of intelligence. Humor can be one of them, and that's good for breeding. And for and then the other way around, there's not a comparable one for, you know, does laughing help her push the baby out? Not necessarily, right? Like, that's the horrible, like, linear biological theory.
Biologically, the way we are designed, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's so funny.
And I feel like...
does laughing help her push the baby out? Oh, my God, if it did. Oh, could you imagine laughing is what we had to do to have a baby? Oh, God, that's funny.
Maybe that's the next stage of evolution. However we, like, selectively breed to get that one in, I don't know. Just some kind of selective boycott. Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I don't know how much I believe that's everything and how much that's, like, reinforced by socialization. But it's definitely 100%. A phenomenon. And Nicole Byer, fellow comedian and podcaster, tells a very similar story, which ended in the guy trying to, like, force a screenplay on her to, like, give to somebody at Netflix. And she was like, no, we're not doing this.
No, like, I am not. Wow, that's even cheekier. Wow.
Yeah.
At least this poor guy, there is a chance he didn't know what was happening. It's just that I could see it. I was like, oh, yes. I hang out with many men. I see where this is going. All right, go follow your dream without me, please.
And do you find that could be a bit of a trend with you in general? I find you very insightful. So do you have a lot of dates in the past where you seem to know how it's going a lot more than the other person?
Yeah, I think so, because I tend to be one of these people that I think it came from being a people pleaser. I like people to feel comfortable and at ease around me. Mm-hmm. So quite often what starts out as what I think is just a conversation quickly turns into, I didn't mean for it to be, but it's intensive therapy for them. You know, like, they're just, again, my best friend always laughs at me because she's like, one moment I'll be like, oh, Allison's talking to something. And the next moment I'll turn around and I'll hear someone be like, and that's when I divorced my husband. And I was like, and she's like, you just, so I think sometimes, yeah, I tend to like, you know, they open up and it feels so good to open up to somebody who listens. And I don't mean to be it, but I just, I don't know. I've always just, I feel more comfortable being that person. So yeah. That's,
no, I'm exactly the same. And it's very strange to have that skill because it is so useful. Like it's a difficult one to turn off, but also there's no obvious incentive. Yes, it means we spend more time with the wrong people potentially, and we can lead people to believe they're having a wonderful time and the conversation is great. And in reality, they're talking about themselves and they enjoy that. And that's why it's great. But then you do put people at ease. So you don't,
yeah.
So it's tricky. And I will tell you something behind the paywall about that actually that happened to me recently. But
brilliant.
One thing that you talk about on stage, which I'm amazed we've never talked about on this show, is keeping diaries. And in particular, how they can really expose the responses you have to people you fancy and the patterns we can get into.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look, I've always kept a diary, like right from adolescence when the angst began, the hand started to write, you know, like it just came out. Like I still believe very much in journaling, you know, journaling about all sorts of things. I just think it's a really good thing, but it is evidence. And, you know, when you go back and read, you're like, oh, wow, you know. Although it can be terrifying because you go back and read an old diary and you're like, I was 13 and I feel the same way today. So what does that say about me? But it is also good to have that reflection to be like, oh, isn't that interesting? Like one friend of mine said that he figured out he had seasonal, like sad seasonal affective disorder. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he would get down. He said, because when I would look back on my journals, I would see when it was that I was in a negative headspace. And he's like, and I started to look, and it was like the same times of year more so. And I was like, well, look at that. If you didn't keep a journal, you wouldn't be able to reflect on that and see that pattern and know that about yourself now. And, you know, that you could put steps in to kind of, you know, fix that or help yourself during those times. So I just think journaling and keeping a diary is, it's important, but it's also, it can be dangerous, everyone. So be careful with them. Don't leave them lying around. I still have like my very first diaries like behind me now because I wouldn't let them go. People are like, I can't believe you have your 13-year-old diary. I was like, yes, for when I was 13, I have the very first diary just because I thought I'll do something with them one day. I don't know what, but yeah, diaries, very important, everyone.
Wow, I love that. I think I would be quite terrified to read back mine because there might be a morsel of like reassurance of like, oh, look at me consistently being my own ridiculous self. I think it would mostly be embarrassment. It'd be a lot of going through phase after phase and each time thinking you've got it all figured out.
I know. But you know what? It makes you realize that we're never going to have it figured out and it's okay. Just keep going. If you think you got to figure it out, enjoy that short time period because the world will throw something at you that makes you realize you don't have anything figured out.
For sure. And yeah. I've learned to get comfortable in the chaos and be like, what are my views? Let's find out on air.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I love that. So I don't know, maybe I'm realizing in this moment, I guess podcasting is my journaling. And so for all I'm like, oh, it's terrifying to go back to, it's all out there.
Yeah. I mean, I never even thought of that, but that's exactly what it is because you're letting your thoughts out. You're letting you out. I find with podcasting, I mean, more of me comes out than ever on stage. You know, on stage, you can regulate on this is when I get nervous because sometimes I'll do a podcast and then I'll reflect. Do you ever take a moment and go, oh God, ooh, that's going to go out in the world. But I've realized, okay, it teaches us a little bit about what do I want, that, you know, who are you? What am I going to say and not be so apologetic about it or not have, I don't know. Yeah, so, but that's interesting. Yeah, that is your diary. Oh, your diary is an audio, a medium. How exciting.
And you're really excited. And I'm having a moment right here.
Sorry, everyone. I broke the host. I'm sorry.
Yeah, can you imagine? Next week, it's Satan Games with Allison G. Smith.
Hi, everyone. Hi there.
doing your best Bobby impression. Oh dear. What am I even gonna ask you about next? Okay, so tell me now. So you're in a relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. On stage you talk about falling in love 5 years in, which I think is more honest than most people.
It's true. Look, what is love? You know, because I think it takes a while to know something's love. You're infatuated at first. Well, first it's physical, right? First it's all the endorphins. First it's like you just want to touch. It's that. Then it becomes a bit more of like you start to analyze the person and their views and who they are. But that can take a while. I mean, that those endorphins, you do it right, that can take you a couple years, everyone. Right? Like a little bit of good dick can really blank out all correct choices, in my opinion. So, you know, so it takes a while. So, yeah, so I do joke. But, yeah, sometimes we're like, no, definitely we are in love because we've gone through those points. We're not even moving in together. I was scared about that because I'd never lived with anyone. I was very nervous in your space being, you know, is this going to be the end of it? Like, is this going to when he sees that this is what I do or when I see that that's what he does? And so, yeah, we've been together 5 years, but I do feel like this last year is when we're like, yeah, nope, okay, it's love.
Yes, and part of that for you was getting a mortgage together, right?
Don't waste your time with a wedding, everyone. That is so easy to get out of. Mortgage, that's tricky.
That's real commitment right there.
I'm just saying, right? And it's smart. You've invested in property as well, everyone. So.
Yes. No, no, it's true. Marriages are so expensive. I don't know if you saw, there's a show on Netflix called Marriage or Mortgage, and it's wild. It's actually so fun. But for me, it's mortgage or mistake. Like, I'm not super anti-marriage at all. I'm all for it. But it's very much been something that, like, I will see who I'm with and we will have that discussion. It has never been something I've assumed. And I watch that show and I get reminded of how expensive marriages are in, you know, couples that I don't know them. I don't know their love and if it's going to last, but they see some beautiful properties.
Oh, that, you know, will look, this is when I knew my father, who is, look, he's from Manchester. He's very quiet. He doesn't do well with love or emotions or, you know, like he keeps to himself, stiff upper lip. And when I told him I was thinking about moving in with Danny, this is the most practical advice my father's ever given me. I was like, I'm just worried, like, you know, what if this ends us or what? I don't know. And he's like, well, the two of you should just agree that no matter what happens, you just go halves on the house and then you just sell the house and you'll just get some money from the house. And, well, that's just what you do. It's like, yeah, you're right. That is okay. Yeah, just move into the house. And if it doesn't work out, you just agree. You sign something that says you're going to, you know, split the house. Boom, done. He's like, it's an investment in, you know, in a building. It's an investment in a building. That's not a mistake. I was like, wow. So for my dad to see that practicality, that's when I was like, yeah, okay. If even Alec, the non-emotional one, is like, nope, I don't, you know, let's just get. And when you take the emotions out of it, I just, yeah, weddings, don't get me wrong, beautiful, lovely, and I bet you do the most gorgeous day of your life, but I'd rather have 4 bathrooms. I'd rather have a backyard. These are just for me. That's just me. And 50% of them end now, isn't that? What's going on most marriages? Is it almost 50%?
It's more than 50% in, yeah.
Yeah. In, I'm not trying to be dismal, marriage people. I'm just saying factually, it is 50 or over even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can get a bit of flack for being very pro prenup because it's seen as kind of cynical. And I maybe fall into a bit of the logic level of your dad at times. So I'm like, yeah, but if something's most likely going to be needed, let's put it in place.
Put it in place. Put it in place. You see all these shows where there's like a rich person who marries a person that, you know, doesn't have the same amount of money. And they're insulted when someone's like, will you just agree that we would leave with what we come in with? I don't know. I'm very practical too. I'd be like, sure.
Yeah. And is that not loving the person, thinking about, okay, if this doesn't work out, I want us to both be okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is something that I wonder about, when sometimes there can be these sensitivities, how much of that is maybe that we know a lot of the romanticization and the like media we consume growing up, we know that it's bullshit, but it's so fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, we talk all the time, I know you do as well, about like music. And yet, of course I love songs. I'm obsessed with them. Most relationships I'm in, I go through a series of different tracks that remind me of that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because love is the most universal thing. But a mortgage is bricks and mortar, everyone. Just remember that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, where are the mortgage songs? That is the question.
Where are the mortgage songs? I'm going to write a mortgage song. That's a great idea. I'm writing that down right now. Mortgage song. I love it.
I've got an idea that it's going to be like the Be A Man track from Mulan. For some reason, that comes to mind. Do, 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 get a mortgage.
Get a mortgage. Just the back. Oh, I love it. Mortgage song.
I don't think you've actually made a note.
I have. That's so funny to me. Yeah. Yeah. Because everything's a love song. Yeah. Okay. We'll go on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm remembering other things to tell you behind the paywall.
Yes.
What else are we discussing for now? I feel like we should run the full gamut and talk about you not being a breeder while we're talking about life choices. Because that is something you shout into the mic on stage, that you're not a breeder. I would imagine, depending on the room, you get different levels of cheers.
Sure. I think, though, like, the reason why I shout it so loud into the mic is because I just want people to realize that, like, it is an option. I just feel so, again, it goes into the whole, you know, I live an unconventional life, I guess. It's not wild. Like, you know, I have a house and a dog and a boyfriend. But the choices I made are, you know, I'm not fussy on marriage. And look, I was a teacher. I love kids. Love kids. They're great. You know, teaching was fantastic. I was a high school drama teacher. So, I mean, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing experience both ways. You know, like, I still have students when I go home that show up to my shows and they're like, Miss Smith. And, you know, they come and it's so interesting. But I just knew from like a young age that I had there was no clock. You know, people would fantasize. Growing up, my Barbie always had a boyfriend and an apartment. That was it. You know, she was busy. She had stuff going on. I never fantasized about that sort of thing. So, yeah, kids, I'm a non-breeder. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people now that, like, you're not going to miss out on life not having a kid. I'm not saying that having a kid makes you miss out. Like, you know, but what you don't know,
well,
you never
you're
miss.
You're still having life. You know, whatever you put into it, you're still living a life, and yes, you'd be hard pressed to have an empty life in this day and age. You know, we're so efficient with it. Every moment can be snapped up. We've always got our phone ready to give us an imaginary task, a bit of scrolling that urgently needs to be done. Right. And so, you know, I don't think any of us are going to look back and regret the choices that we made for us versus, you know, societal pressures or expectations. And I guess maybe this is part of the same strangeness, where we can still get caught up in the feeling that it is unusual, or that we are, you know, kind of against the grain on a lot of things, when, of course, you don't have to look very far to see how many people don't have kids. Mm-hmm. How many people don't get married, how many people do but get divorced, how many people buy a property, how many people rent their whole life. What works for you?
Is what works for you, you know? And I just love that we are alive in that time, that we get the choices. So that's why if I can just, you know, put that in some girl's mind, you know, you don't have to. You can. Oh my gosh, enjoy it if that's what you want. Like, I want you to have your babies. Like, do what you want. But I don't know. Have you, you know, do you want to be, I don't know. What do you want to do? Like, do what you want to do. It doesn't have to involve that. So I'm glad that you remember that. That makes me really happy, actually, that we're even discussing it now. That's great. It's working.
It definitely is. And this is something I come back to a lot, that a big part of dating in itself is winning the person opposite you over on really not just you, but your life. Like, that's, for me, the biggest turnoff of all. If someone finds their own life boring, I don't want to be involved in it.
No. No, I'm not here to help you find your... Look, that's my big thing in life, too. You got to find what your thing is. What's your... Passion sounds so dramatic, but it is that. What is it you want to do with your time? What's going to make you wake up? What's not your job. Your job is something that you do. If the job can be what you love doing, even better. And I think everyone, if we all could figure that out, what a happier world it would be. But I often think I would not be able to be with a person who did not know what they loved or something that they wanted to do, or I just couldn't. It would be too hard because they'd watch me and be like, why are you making the choices that you're making? It makes no sense. And I'd be like, why do you just want to repaint the fence again? Like, you know, it would be hard. I don't know. Yeah, it would be tricky. So yeah, definitely.
And am I right in thinking you've been pulled into being somebody's personal cheerleader a fair few times?
Oh my God. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely. Which is fine. And I'm not saying that they didn't think they were mine as well, but they just, you know, they didn't quite know at the time how to be the same level of cheerleader.
That's yeah. All. And I don't know if you've had this, but sometimes you get into that dynamic and you start wondering, how different is this to parenting?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, maybe I'm putting my time and energy into other things, other people, you know, maybe that's my thing. Like you said, you and I, we're empathetic. We like people. Maybe that's what I want to do. I want to positively affect a lot of people instead of maybe just one.
Well, also, I don't know about you, but for me, I've realized that the cheerleader-ness is, you know, fundamentally part of who I am. And so can I find someone where I've got a head start, where they're also out, they're already out there living the life they want with the job that is their passion? And then, of course, I'll be a cheerleader. And then that's a way that something that is part of who I am can be applied in a way that's healthy and productive versus, you know, at times it can go so far the other way that that person can realize you're seeing them via their potential as opposed to who they are today. And that is okay in many ways. Like if you're working with people, or if you're, I guess, managing somebody, or like any number of other things, if you're with your friends, but something about being in a relationship with somebody.
Relationship.
You've really got to, I think, force yourself to see, who are they? Who is this person in front of me? Do I love exactly who they are today?
Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing, right? You need to love the person for who they are and accept them for who they are. I think that is a huge key in a relationship, right? Who is this person in front of me now? That is who I accept. Definitely. Because you can't change. Because I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of years dating some and making them better people. And then guess what happens? They go off into the world and the next girl gets to enjoy all the time and the work that I... Not that I'm saying it was all me, but I definitely positively affect them. And then they grew in some way and went out in the world. And
Yes, yeah. I know a lot of women like that. I haven't thought of a term for it yet, but it's almost like they're a marriage readier, that so often they notice like all their exes then go on to find the one after them. And how much of that is their groundwork?
Would that be a marriage fluffer? Is that what we are? Are we prepping them for? Are we a marriage?
Yes, marriage fluffers? That's the term. Marriage fluffers.
We'll take a pornographic term and we'll apply it to marriage. I'm a marriage fluffer, is what I do. I prepare the man for the big event.
Yes, I love that. But it is a term that sounds kind of cute. So it's, you know, it almost feels like a compliment. Then we'll
people
have to make
know,
sure to
be
not
like...
accidentally romanticize it. That'll be the next challenge. Then we'll need to rebrand it. And so we'll move on to our rules of the game. And conveniently, it kind of links to the one I had in mind, which was introduce them to your friends. I've definitely fallen in the trap of being so in it with somebody and particularly when I've had like things that have been a bit long distance, then when you spend time with that person, you want to maximize every second of you guys' time. And what can be missing there is the helpful outside perspectives that might remind you that there are some things to look at here, or that maybe in the, I don't know, for me, a lot of it is like if it's long distance, but the things that for any number of reasons you might be overlooking or not focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Or just missing, perhaps, at the time. Just missing at the time. My best friend, I dated a guy for a while. He was shy. I introduced him to my best friend. After he left, she was like, oh, no, he's not shy. He's dumb.
Oh.
He's dumb. He's not a smart person. And I was like, no. Oh. And I was like, but he listens to everything that I say. Like, he's a real listener. She's like, yeah, because he doesn't understand. She was 100% correct. She was correct, everyone, 100%. Once I started to take a step back, I was like, oh, not like dumb, but like not
keeping up. Yeah. Because that's the question. Yeah. He was listening, but did he have anything to say to your monologues?
No. And I thought he was just really taking it all in, but I think he was just trying to work it all out constantly. Not shy is dumb. So it is important. Get your friends on the case. They'll be honest with you. They'll tell you. And how do they treat your friends? That's a big thing. Are they going to go out of their way to try and charm your friends? Because they should. And if they don't, I go out of my way. Yeah. If I was to meet my partner's friends, best step forward, get to know them, let them know my intentions, you know, with their friend. Because these are the people that know them and love them. We're new in the world, right? So I expect the same of a person that I date. Do that with my friends.
For sure. And yeah, and you can find a lot out from the friends if you get in with them.
Mm-hmm. They'll stand behind you. Friends have power. The friends have the power. You don't want to be fighting friends. Oh, then it turns into a weird thing too, because then what are you going to do? Is separate them from the friend? When I see someone date someone that starts to separate them from friends, flag. Huge red flag.
I was literally about to, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many of those that can come up with friends. Another one I thought of is if you get chatting to the friends and they're like, oh, I'm so glad they've met you. They have really bad taste in people. Like they tell you things that you don't want to hear, and you're like, oh, and I really thought this one was different. And, and now it turns out I'm the different one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm the one that's outside of their trend. Maybe they're part of mine.
But hey, there's a lesson that's about to be learned either way. That's exciting.
Yes. And I think that's ultimately what that rule of the game boils down to. That, yeah, sometimes even subconsciously we can avoid kind of really integrating this person in our life. Sometimes we have that unconscious gut feeling that they don't quite fit. And it saves a lot of time if we try and look that in the eye.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because your world is the people that are all in it. So you need them all to be able to get along. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for you, do you have a rule of the game, something you'd recommend trying to live by?
Yeah. Here's my rule of the game, everyone. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard. Okay. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, but it shouldn't be hard. There shouldn't be unnecessary drama. There shouldn't be strain for this relationship. It shouldn't be hard. I think when you find the right person, you just all of a sudden go, oh, it's been a year. It shouldn't be hard. I think too many people have had too many bad experiences that you almost identify a relationship with struggle. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it's supposed to be. So I always think it shouldn't be hard. That's a big rule of the game, I think.
Oh, I love that, because there's a massive difference between there should always be effort put in versus it shouldn't always be constant effort.
Yes. Being alive and being in the relationship with the person, that should just be a lot of it. You know, like you're meeting each other's needs by being who you are just with one another. It shouldn't be hard. You know, eventually, yes, effort. Of course you put in effort with any relationship, with your friends, with work. You put in effort, but it, yeah, that's what I think. That's what I really learned with where I'm at now is that, yeah, it shouldn't be hard. That, you know, it should be pretty easy. Two people should be both putting in the same level of effort so you can look each other in the eye and go, hey, yeah, this is easy because we're both trying enough.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I think that's so key, particularly what you said there about we can associate it with struggle, because I think that's a big part of how it can be differentiated from friendship, right? That friendship can be a lot of work, but we don't have a tendency to stay with friends as often when it's too much work. And I think, you know, that's part of it. We don't find ourselves falling into that trap of, oh, this should be hard. Everyone says it's hard. It's like, there's some nuance there to examine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. All right. And so on that empowering note, I will say, we will wrap up there. If people want to find you online, maybe come out to one of your shows, where should they go?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's so old fashioned, everyone, but my website always has all my dates on it. AllisonJuneSmith.com. Allison spelled A-L-L-Y-S-O-N. But just put Allison Smith, Canadian comedian, you'll find me. I think I'll be up in Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Festival this summer for 10 days with another friend of mine working on some new material. So yeah, but that's probably the easiest. Oh, and I have a podcast too. I got to plug my podcast. Mm-hmm. Well, me and another two comedians, Jen Brister and Maureen Younger. I believe Jen Brister, you have chatted with before.
Yes, I was about to say. God, yeah. You really belong here. You know the whole deal. I think we have to have you back. And we'll hopefully catch up in Edinburgh as well, because I am going to be over working at it.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
That's so great. Okay, we'll definitely have to get together in person then and like face to face and do it for real and have a drink or a bite to eat or go eat some fried something, because we're in Scotland and that's what you do.
For sure. And you said that and I was like, are we in a dating app? The amount of people that I meet this way nowadays, and then I see them in person, and you're like suddenly friends then, because it's like, okay, well, we've chatted, we've spilled all our secrets, and you find that you feel you know someone really well, and you're like, but I don't know if they have siblings or parents or a favorite color, don't know any of that, but I know all your feelings about marriage and kids.
That's exactly. Look, on WTB, Women Talking Bollocks, that's how I feel with Jen and Maureen and I, because we've talked so much about things. I'm like, oh, God, we know quite a bit. Like, what comes out on it, like through podcasts is, it's amazing, though, because I think the more people let out truly who we are, the more we learn about one another and bigger sense of empathy and all that jazz. So, big fan of podcasting. Let's talk, everyone.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on this one.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening.
You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.